and welcome to
You Haven't Seen.
I'm Debbie.
And I'm Ashley.
This is a podcast where we watch movies everyone has seen but us, and then we talk about them. And today we're watching a movie that I have seen, but Ashley has not, and we're watching Sunshine. Adventure sci-fi thriller, 2007 release, directed by Danny Boyle, starring Cillian Murphy?
Cillian.
We were just informed via email by someone. This is actually our first director and star repeat that we've had, besides, Alien and Aliens and the Star Wars, but something that we've done, not in a franchise, I guess. Yeah. Cillian Murphy. Not Cillian Murphy, like we said for a whole episode. So, starring him, Chris Evans, Rose...
Byrne,
thank you.
You're welcome.
And some other people.
Mark Strong is in it.
Oh, yeah. Yes, he is. Ashley, what do you know about this movie?
Nothing. Well, I know it's Danny Boyle.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's... Because Empire, I think... The only reason, I added it to my queue is because I used to listen to the Empire podcast. And then I just got... It's too much. And it's too relevant. So you have to listen to it. Anyways.
Yeah.
But on the Empire podcast, they were like, Sunshine is the most underrated film.
They're
you have to see Sunshine.
It's so good. And
I
was like,
I do need to see it. And then it was on Netflix. But then it went off
I know,
Netflix.
It went off Netflix. This is available on Amazon Video.
Yeah. I think the sun is dying.
Mm-hmm.
And other than that, I don't know much.
Okay. Well, the plot line is, on IMDb, a team of international astronauts they're sent on a dangerous mission to reignite the dying sun with a nuclear fission bomb in 2057.
Can I just say, though, this is, my biggest fear. The most, panic attack inducing thing I had in elementary school was learning that the sun might die.
Oh.
I legit was, scarred for the rest of the year.
I mean... It's a very scary thought.
It's a heavy thought to be, spelling on some middle schoolers, hey, this is gonna die. Not in your lifetime. And you're like, oh, my God, I think I can live forever because I'm 13. it was just, I just remember that being, the first time where I was like.
That's when you realize your own mortality, huh?
Not mortality, but, just that, the Earth might not be here anymore.
Oh, I see.
I was still I can survive in a post-apocalyptic landscape. I'm a middle schooler.
What is your stance on that now?
Oh, I'm dead.
I
did survive, my brain being on fire for,
You did.
2 weeks.
If it's a medical situation, you're going to end up, waking up after everyone else has succumbed. Turns out I'm immune!
I'm going to do Rick Grimes.
Yes.
Hello!
Yeah. Taglines for Sunshine, bringing it back to the movie.
I love all of these.
I'll go first, and we'll alternate.
Okay.
Dark days are coming.
If the sun dies, so do we.
If it dies, so do we.
50 years in the future, Earth's sun is dying.
Yeah.
So I think this is about the sun dying.
It is.
Okay.
Let's watch it. And we're back. Ashley, 2 sentences, what do you think?
The ending...
Okay, I'm so happy you like this movie because this is legit one of my favorite movies. And the way that I was introduced to this movie was in college. One of my friends was like, have you seen Sunshine? You really need to watch Sunshine. And basically pressed the DVD into my hand. It was literally, he goes, you should watch this. And here, I have it in my hand for you to borrow. How'd that happen? And so I watched it and I was like, this is amazing. And there is something that I think everyone should watch, and I'll put it in the show notes. You should watch a series called Movies with Mikey, and he does one on Sunshine.
It's gorgeous. I wrote down.
It's very good.
Because you made me watch it.
The Movies with Mikey?
Yes.
Yes. When did I do that?
You sent it to me in GChat, and you were
I did!
When you're done,
I forgot.
Have to watch this.
Yeah, I was like, when we decided we were doing Sunshine, I was like, Ashley, watch it first, and then watch this.
So, I watched it after I finished Sunshine, and there was one sentence that
What was the one sentence? For Movies with Mikey?
Yeah. Hold on, I gotta go through my notes. When God is dying, the devil has control.
Right?
That just got my heart.
Okay. So, everyone, watch Sunshine first.
Yes.
And then watch movies with Mikey or listen to this. Those two, I guess, are interchangeable. But Sunshine first.
Well, movies with Mikey is...
It's never better. It's going to be better. We're at the start of the recording.
It's 15 minutes.
It's yeah, it's long. But it's good. Okay, let's do the just brief plot synopsis right. first. And then, so, like we said in the intro, the sun is dying. Yep. There's a team of seven.
Eight.
I thought there were seven of them. Oh, and the captain. That was after the captain died, right? There's a team of eight scientists. They're flying into space. Because this is the second time their Hail Mary plan was we are going to put a bomb into the sun. And the first mission, they lost it, like they never heard from again.
Yeah.
So now they're sending the second one. And as they are past Mercury, they get a transmission from the first mission. And the Cillian Murphy, whose job on the ship is the bomb.
He's a physicist.
Yeah, he's a physicist. So he's like the most... They were like, should we go to Icarus 1 mm-hmm. to get that payload
yeah.
so that we can have two shots at this? Mm-hmm. And since his, they're like, we're going to make an educated decision. The one who knows the most to make this decision is Cillian Murphy. And he says, yes, two last hopes are better than one. Mm-hmm. So they go. And then that decision, everything else that happens is a direct chain of events led from that decision. One of the things that I love about this is the plot is like so tight.
Yeah.
And because everything you can point to, this happens because of that. And this, and it's a very short time frame. And it's a short story. And this is over a 2 hour long movie.
No, it's an hour 47.
Yeah, okay. You're right. It's about 2 hours long.
I really
But it's like, this is a longer movie.
It is.
And it does not feel long because everything, I don't think it feels long. Because I think it goes, this causes this, causes this. There's not fluff in the middle, you know?
Yeah.
It moves right along, in my opinion.
I think it does, but there was also a moment where, like, I looked up, because there's something wrong with my computer. And I can't get the taskbar to go away.
Okay, that's annoying.
So I can see the time, running time now. So there was a point where I looked up and I was like, there's no conflict yet.
Oh.
Like, I was...
Does take a while to
it
get
does.
To.
Like, I kept waiting for, like, is there a bad... Or is this a moral dilemma? Is there...
It is.
Right. But in the third act, there's a boogeyman.
Yeah, that's... In this... The ending of this movie does lose a lot of people because it changes from a straight science and moral discussion into a, there's the bad guy, you know, creeping around the ship. But... Again, like the thing that you wrote down, where it's like the devil is in charge now. There's the whole they're worshiping the sun type of thing, which I loved how the guy who's obsessed with the sun is the psychologist.
He upset me so much. I was like, you need to leave right now. Because I was like, again, I was just expecting alien. I was expecting like some kind of locked room mystery. Very rarely does things go well in space. Especially
this is true, and you know what? Because I was thinking about this. Because one of the actors, I don't know his name because I'm bad with names.
Benedict Wong.
Yes, I thought, where do I know this man from? And I looked him up, and his four things that he's most known for on IMDb are Prometheus, Sunshine, Moon, and The Martian. So this man has been in space a lot. I'm assuming. Even, I don't remember what he plays in any of those movies, but the man's been to space.
Yeah.
Everything starts to go wrong because when he changed the trajectory, then the angle their shield was off by a tiny little percentage, and it just sets off this domino effect of things.
Which, like, once it got going, I was like, oh, okay, I know what this is. Mm. But for, like, the first half of the movie, I just feel like when you get eight people on a spaceship, I'm always like...
Can we talk about the design of the spaceship
sure.
a little bit? Because it's unlike any other spaceship I've seen because it's so long and narrow.
Mm-hmm.
And just, I want to know how they got it off of Earth. Because if the payload has the mass of Manhattan, surely it didn't launch off of Earth with the payload attached. So did they, like, launch that up first and assemble the payload mm-hmm. above the atmosphere in space and then attach the little spiny little toothpick of a spaceship to it and then forward motion?
Uh-huh. I think I see where your confusion is. You do know you're talking to Ashley, theater major, not Professor Brian Cox.
I just want to know how they did it.
I don't know.
Fine. Internet, answer me my question.
How did Matt Damon get down from space?
He flew like Iron Man, remember?
Okay, come on. Really? I'm just saying.
Okay. We should, all right.
But I don't know.
Okay.
I would assume.
I just really like the design of the spaceship.
Yes. I would assume it's, because, like, the spaceships, now, it's like pieces fall away.
Yeah.
It's not like.
That's true.
The NASA. It's not like the big.
Okay, fine. Okay, fine.
I expected more for that answer because I'm really pulling that from nowhere.
Okay. Let's go back to the beginning and then talk about the conflict, like, through the plot of the movie,
okay.
like that. So, it does take a while for the conflict to start. It's a while before they reach Icarus 1.
Yeah. And I like that they kept hinting at that, like, something went wrong with Icarus 1. And I like, and, like, they keep zooming in on eyes mm-hmm. and doing close-up of eyes. So I thought everyone was going to get blinded on this mission by the sun.
Well, the opening shot, too. Shield turns into an eye. So
I, the entire time, I was like, okay, I know. Like,
you're like, I know what's going to happen. Everyone's going blind.
Right, like, I was like, oh, it's this, you know, like, I just kept trying, because I don't do well, like, just sitting and, like, watching movies. Mm-hmm. I enjoy turning my brain off and watching movies, but at the same time, I'm like, oh, I recognize that this could be this down the line.
Mm.
Did not follow through. I was, like, already for it.
But the first character that we meet is the psychiatrist, correct?
Yeah, doctor.
Yeah, because he is he's in the observation room, and I mean, I really loved how he has just little burns on his skin because clearly this man is because he's just like he's just pushing the envelope, and I like even how the computer at this point kind of knows where he's like put it to 4%. Can't do that, sir, but what I can get you is 3.1. So it's this AI is just so used to his requests that she's like, okay, what is the most this man can take?
No, it took me forever because when he finally shows up, like, with the burns, mm-hmm. I was like, what happened? Like, did I miss something? And then I was like,
Sunburned.
Mm-hmm.
So good.
I was like, that's genius.
But and then, because the captain's been listening to him, too. So the captain is also kind of, like, buying into this.
Yeah, I just... See, And then I thought he was a bad guy.
The captain? Or no, the doctor?
The doctor. I thought the doctor was going to go crazy. So I was like, you're bad. Like, I just need you to get away from these people. Like, I was like... You are the target. You are the problem.
Especially after we meet the crew of Icarus 1. Who burn themselves because, you know, they had the, like, who are we to save humanity?
But
all this. And so for a brief moment, it does lead you to think, like, maybe the doctor on Icarus 2 can hear that and think they're right.
Mm.
You know, and he's offering to stay behind and open the door. What if he doesn't do that? So I think that his questionable, like, fanaticism with the sun does lead you to mistrust him.
Yeah.
Which I think is great.
But, like, I didn't know that he had those same beliefs as Icarus 1 until you find out. Mm. But, like, even before then when he's, like, really burning and he's just in the meeting peeling his skin, I was like, you have to leave.
I like that, though, because, I mean,
we're very pale.
We're both pretty pasty, so it's like we have both been in a situation where you just...
Well, I understand that, but it's also, I'm not at work peeling skin and talking about the sun god.
No.
But I was just like, but you know, like...
When you start, though, you just can't. You gotta get the whole bit.
I'm with you on that. But I was just like, again, I was viewing this more as, like, a locked room thing.
Oh, I see.
And so I thought, like, something was going to go wrong with the mission, and then they were caught in turmoil in the crew, and I was like, he's the one that's going to snap.
Yeah.
And I'm like, get him out.
Well, the one
just
who...
airlock him.
The one who does snap is the second in command, the communications officer.
Harvey!
Yeah, when they're on... Aww. And I do feel bad for him, because he's... I mean, in terms of the eight people that you want to save humanity, he's the one there who is not at all willing to sacrifice himself.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, that's obviously not a situation that I can directly relate to, but it does make me wonder, what did he think he was getting into? He was there so he could be a hero coming back home?
Well, I did some research. The train ride, the bus ride is long. So on the bus ride, I read Wikipedia and IMDb on my way here. And they said that someone on the film like wrote bios for every character.
Oh, wow.
And they said that his bio was that he loves his wife.
Oh.
And like he like is madly in love with his wife. Oh. And so he has a real hard time admitting that he will die before he sees her.
Oh, man.
That doesn't, like, forgive it, but it's also, like, when you know, like,
there
is someone waiting for you.
And like, she, like, what's her name? The girl.
Cassie?
Yeah, Cassie said, really, like, it's different being afraid you won't come back and knowing you won't come back. But he, because after the captain sacrifices himself to fix the solar panels, when the computer goes crazy and it's like, I'm taking control.
It's like,
you wait, like, 10 minutes. He's now in command, and even when they got to the point, because Chris Evans' character throughout all of this is the voice of reason.
Yes.
He is looking at everything logically, and I love that, because his character is seen as, you know, the jerk, but then you think about what he says, and you're like, no, he's right. You know? He's the only one with the mission in mind.
Yeah.
And even when Chris lays it out for him, I was like, listen, there's four of us trapped over here in Icarus 1. The bomb is on Icarus 2, and this man in the suit is the only one who knows how to work the bomb. Guess what? He gets the suit.
Yeah.
Even then, the communications officer was like, but I'm the captain. I'm like, no! Listen to the logic.
Yeah. But then, like, he disobeys and dies.
Yeah. Well,
like...
Because
he throws a temper tantrum, then he does.
Again, Chris Evans is like, okay, breathe out slowly. And because his mistake is the first thing he does is the gut reaction. So he just exhaled all this oxygen soon as they got into space, because I heard him and was like, oh, dude, mistake number one.
All right, fair enough.
Being instinctual. What a jerk. But so I thought his character was super interesting, because he's already mad because they blew out two of his comms towers
Yeah.
He's already hurting.
Right, and then I thought there was something going on with him and the botanist.
Oh.
Michelle, because she, like, when all of her trees
die,
when they're all on fire, she, like, specifically yells at him, like, Harvey, let me in. And I was like, oh.
Maybe they bonded, because...
Well, I mean, they all had to bond.
Yeah, they all had to... Well, maybe not Chris Evans and Killian.
Well, apparently they all live together. Like, in real life.
Oh, yeah, and Danny Boyle made them all go on the planes and do the upside down thing.
Did you see a video of it?
He did. And it was great, because I saw Killian Murphy specifically.
Yeah,
because he's not screaming or anything. No. He's just nervous laughing going, this is crazy.
But even watching it made my tummy hurt, because it's like, that's just the noise you make when you're like, oh, that's good. Like,
see, that is something I really want to do. Like the OK Go music video when they're floating. Yeah.
Why? You're just going to vomit everywhere.
No, I won't. You don't know that. Everyone does.
It looks like woo.
Don't.
It looks like woo, and then in the background, there's like three people chucking their guts out.
Because also, either do the thing in the plane, or I want to skydive. Because I've already scuba dived, and so I'm like,
you
I gotta
master
get
the air and
the
sea.
Land and the sea. Actually, master of all the elements.
I'm just saying, anytime,
I will be the avatar.
Anytime I see that, there's always one person that's like, I like this, and then there's like 12 people on the back who are like,
we do not like this.
Please take me down. I can't do roller coasters. Who am I kidding? I'm not getting in a plane.
Okay, fine.
But, okay, so let's just go over the relationships on the crew.
Yeah, since we're talking about...
There's the captain, but, like, captain's there for, like, 5 minutes.
Yeah, we don't really get to see much of the captain.
No. He gets...
He's a very good leader. You can kind of tell.
And he's very open. Because, like, I wouldn't have shared the distress beacon.
No.
To the entire crew. By the way, I think it would do good in space because I'd be fucking ruthless.
You think you would do good in space? Well,
except for the loop-de-loops and stuff.
I was like, Ashley, getting up in space, I think, would be rough for you.
Right, but the but the fact that, like, immediately the doctor's shifty, and I'm like, lock him up.
See, I think that I would just be so happy to be there that even if anything went wrong, I would be so excited. Like, but we're in space! Nothing's burning! Space! Like, I would be... I think I would do okay, but I think that I would be so distracted by space that other people might not want me there.
I'd just be sitting there, like, if someone sneezed, be like, med bay, now.
Oh my gosh. I would also be really concerned that about the muscular atrophy.
Yes.
So I would be the one, like, on the treadmill. I mean, super paranoid, because I am a hypochondriac, yeah. So I would be like, they need to say we do this much treadmill time. Gonna double that just to make sure. But so the captain,
he like, I couldn't believe he shared the distress beacon with everyone. Yeah. Because I would be like, I'm keeping that to myself.
Mm.
But at this point, there's no contact with Earth.
There's no contact with Earth.
I thought was interesting. Because like, you don't even see NASA.
Yeah.
At all.
And or I really here. Like that.
I like that too.
Because it's very isolating.
Yeah.
And it makes it much more of just their decision, you know? Removing all the outside distractions,
right.
Where it's like they are not answerable to anyone.
No.
They could just fly away if they wanted to.
Yeah.
And no one would ever know.
Yeah.
So
the captain, he gets killed by solar.
Yeah.
By the sun. He burns to death, basically.
He burns to death. A lot of people in this one burn to death.
But he burns to death, like, in space, wearing a spaceship.
Yes. By choice, he sacrifices himself to finish repairing the solar shields and sends Killian back.
Yeah.
Who was willing to stay out there with him.
In a way that was like...
Well, he was going to do it,
but also, like, scooching towards the door.
Like, the second that the captain was like, go back, he's like, no. The captain goes, go back. Okay! And so he went. But, I mean, he wouldn't have abandoned the captain out there. They're all very loyal to...
But that was, like, the biggest dick move I've ever seen when Chris Evans was like, I volunteer. Kappa. I was like, oh.
From where Chris Evans is coming from, Cap is the one who made the decision to jeopardize, I'm using air quotes, and to jeopardize the mission to move it.
But I was also like, whew. That was cold.
So
there's the captain. The second in charge is Harvey.
Harvey.
His communications.
Yeah.
No, you don't hear much from him until he has his big, like, hissy fit.
Yeah.
And Icarus 1.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets killed by...
He gets killed as they're going from exposure. Icarus 1 to Icarus 2. Yeah, Chris Evans and him have wrapped themselves in the insulation because they have, what, 20 meters to cover a couple of seconds in space. Like, in theory. Because as they're going, I thought it was so interesting. Chris Evans, like, keep your eyes closed and exhale slowly. Both of which are important because of, like, the pressure changes, and then if your eyes are open, at level freeze. But, and he, like, screams, so he exhales, and then bumps against something and loses the grip on the other two, because they're all holding on to each other.
Yeah.
And so he floats away in space.
Yeah. But you don't really hear from him until he has his, like, I want to live speech.
Yeah.
Which I thought was good.
Yeah, I'm glad that there was a speech like that, because I wrote down in the notes, is like, everyone straight up just... says aloud and recognizes, like, we are not going to make it back.
Right.
Okay. And then moves on and does their job.
Yeah.
And I was like, someone would not have that reaction, you know? Someone would not just go straight from, we're gonna die, okie dokie, and then here we go.
Yeah.
Someone would get lost in the shuffle.
But I feel like, sitting there and saying, like, oh yeah, if I can save everyone back home, I would die. Yeah. But then if, like... you know, there's a knife to your throat, you're like, no.
It's impossible to know what your reaction would be until it happens.
So, that's the second in command. Then you have
the botanist?
Botanist. Michelle.
Yeah. Who's...
I love her.
She's great. I like how the garden's on, like, the other end, on the far end of the spaceship.
Yep.
And she got a little scooter.
There was a lot of Razor scooters, and I just love the Razor scooters.
I like it, and I was thinking about this, like, they really can't walk. But then I was thinking, oxygen's at a premium, always in space. So, of course, there's scooters, because they can't just be running back and forth. That expends, you use up so much oxygen during that.
Yeah.
So, of course, they have little scooters to go everywhere. Once I realized that, I was like, Debbie, come on. Think about it.
Dignity and grace.
Her death. Yes. Dignity and grace. Her death, because the her garden gets burned up, because once they fix the solar panels in the whole, like, angles off, that chain of events sparks a fire in the garden, in the oxygen garden, and it all burns. They have to flood it with O2 so it can foomp and then die. And then she just finds a new plant.
Yeah.
And so there's this moment of hope, like, we're gonna be okay. And then the captain from Icarus One comes and stabs her. She dies with that little plant in her hands.
Oh, I thought he put it in her hands. Because why would she pull it out?
I think she assumes
that
they're all gonna die.
Yes and no.
Okay.
But she, like, pulled down to, like, go like this, but then he was like, and I thought he put it in her
hands. No, like, I think, death. I thought she was holding it as in just, like.
I just assumed a botanist would pluck a plant.
But no, well, because I thought emotional. It was weird, like, why didn't she leave it for them? But at that point, I think she is all, well, also, because the entire time as people are dying, they're saying, okay, we have this much oxygen for this long. So I think part of her is also thinking, like, if I'm dying, so when I die, that's one less person. They have enough oxygen to get to the payload. We don't need this plant. I can, you know, hold it and find comfort in it as I die. So I think that was also kind of on her mind, because she was the first one who brought up the oxygen calculation.
Yeah.
Where she was like, we do have enough oxygen just for half of us, you know? So I think that's just kind of constantly, because that's her job, is to monitor the O2.
Yeah.
And then we have Cassie.
Cassie, Air Force pilot.
Yeah. I like her. She.
I was a little annoyed towards the end.
Oh.
I just kept feeling like they kept giving her, like, exposition lines where I was like, or some of her lines were just like,
oh.
What? Child.
I didn't notice it enough to bother me. But I think she and Killian are definitely the two youngest people on the ship.
Yeah.
Because I think she was, like, 26 or something when they shot this. But she makes it till the end with Killian, and she, when, what's his name? The bad guy.
Mark Strong?
Yeah. Is holding him, like, over the edge of the payload.
Yeah.
And she comes and pushes them and, like, rips his arm, all the flesh off of his arm. I'm just doing this hand gesture because I like that it, I liked it, but at the same time, I was like, oh, no, his arm. Ah. Mm-hmm. But he's just one big old burn, so.
Yeah, I have no idea what happened at the end.
Okay, we'll go through the characters, and then we'll talk about the end. Okay.
So there's Cassie.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the scientist, I guess, Benedict Wong.
Yeah,
he does calculations, I guess.
Yeah, our physicist.
Not physicist, no. But, like, flight.
Mathematician.
Yeah, he does, like, the, he's Donald Glover in The Martian.
He was the one, when they were like, can we change our course?
Yeah.
He was one who calculated the velocity and all that and was like, yes, we can.
Yeah.
So that's his job. And he, oh, he's a tragic character.
But, so, first of all, his meltdown, mm-hmm. when he realizes that he messed up by, like,
0.1%
was amazing.
It was, and it was because also so relatable.
Right.
Because you're thinking, like, I mean, I was a very studious student. And so from that level, if I was thinking, oh, you just make one stupid mistake and you're watching it all flow down in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
Love that performance of his. Because he just, when he just keeps saying, like, I messed up. And everyone's like, we know.
Yeah, but, like, also, like, you know, just deal with it. That was awesome.
Now, do you think he killed himself, or do you think Mark Strong killed him?
That's what I was just about to ask you.
Okay.
I think he killed himself.
When I first watched it, I thought that he was killed.
Mm.
But because the two knives were missing, and then I think Mark Strong had one in the greenhouse. Yeah. But then, because I thought he was locked in the earth room. What if Mark Strong just opened the door and gave him a scalpel?
I don't think he's that coherent. Okay. And he also, like, I mean, I guess he's been on the ship for a while, so I'm sure someone was like...
Yeah, I'm looking it up to see what the official plot is.
The official plot is... I looked it up before I came.
Yeah.
The official plot is it's up to the viewer.
Okay.
Because there technically is two scalpels missing.
Yeah.
So it could be viewed either way.
Yeah, so because I'm not entirely sure. I could see both.
That's the thing. And yeah. I think Benedict Wong says that he killed himself.
Oh.
But then someone else says that, no, Mark Strong is one of those.
Okay.
I just assume because he is seen, which that also freaked me out. I forgot he was still alive.
Oh.
And so when they were at the, when he appeared in the doorway.
Yeah.
And the two girls were piloting the ship, I was like, who is in the doorway?
Oh my gosh.
And then they cut to him and I was like, oh, okay. So I think he sees that, like, it has messed up again.
Yeah.
Which is not his fault.
No.
Because this is...
But in his mind, if he hadn't made that one mistake, right, none of the rest would have happened.
You know, I think it's like...
Which is true.
Right. And I think it's like, well, no, because they still would have gone to Icarus One.
That's true.
It would... The same thing would have happened.
That's... Yeah.
They just would have had a captain.
They would have been in a much better situation.
Right.
Yeah.
So I just assume, like, he saw, like, it's still not getting better. Mm-hmm. And he was just like...
Gotcha.
I can't. And then the birds in the earth room, I was like, oh.
The earth room.
Because I thought they were flies. And I was like, because like.
Oh, flies in space?
Well, that's why I was like, what? Well, then there were birds. I was like, what? I forgot the earth room existed.
One thing about VR that does excite me is that.
You can have earth rooms.
Guys, give it a decade and the earth room will exist. I've done a couple VR stuff. And then when I was watching Sunshine, when he was standing there looking at the waves and stuff like that, I was just thinking, oh my gosh, in 10 years, like, we will be able to do this.
Yeah.
I just got really excited about science for a second.
Science.
Oh my gosh. Says the video editor. Science!
And then last but not least. Oh no, we have two more.
Yeah, we'll do the doctor.
Oh, we have three more. We have doctor.
We already talked a lot about the doctor.
Yeah, I don't like him.
Yeah.
Killian Murphy.
Yeah, Killian Murphy. Kappa. He is just such a good, audience insert.
Yeah, oh yeah.
He's great at that.
He's so good. The entire time I was like, I have no idea what's happening. And I was like, just give me, oh, okay, I know how I feel now. Like, I just need to
And I like, I like him as a, you know, audience viewpoint because he's not clueless.
Yeah.
He does know what's going on and everything, but he is such an easy person to relate to.
Yeah.
You know?
And he's the only one that, like, seemed like didn't have any, like, astronaut training. Was, like, purely a physicist. Who created this bomb.
Yeah.
And then was, like, sent to space.
Well, I can also kind of see how, because this bomb, only one other like it had ever been created. And so I could definitely see how he's the most, in terms of, like, good at his job. He's probably equally good at his job, but by far the least experienced, only because what he is good at, what he knows, this is only the second of that that has ever existed.
Yeah.
So I can definitely see the other scientists and astronauts looking at him and not completely trusting him.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you've been doing this, conceivably, for 7 years, is all. You know, this has only existed for not that long of time, because it is such... This is only the second bomb like this that has ever existed in the world. But and we're trusting it into his hands.
Yeah, but Icarus One goes off at, like, 10 years ago.
It was 7 years.
But weren't they in, like, deep space? Weren't they sleeping for, like, 7 years?
No.
Oh, all right. Never mind.
That's other science movies.
I thought at the beginning they were, like, we've been traveling for, like, a year or two.
Okay. Yeah.
I didn't know if the seven was, like, added
on
to that.
No, they're, like, Icarus left, and it's, like, 7 years. It's been 7 years since Icarus 1 left. We're Icarus 2, and we're going off. Because then, when they hear the signal from Icarus 1, it was, like, it's been 6.5 years since they would have stopped.
Yeah.
And then there is Chris Evans. Mm-hmm. What's his character's name?
Mace.
Mace. who is the voice of reason throughout the entire thing.
Yeah.
And I actually really like his character, because usually the guy who's the jerk and the one who's prone to punching things, you don't like him as a character, because he's stupid, usually. But
yeah.
Chris Evans' character, Mace, is very smart.
Yeah. And he's Chris Evans. That really helps.
It doesn't hurt, you know?
Well, he's just so likable. Like, yeah. In anything. Even, like, when he does something that's, like, he was a serial killer in Iceman.
Oh, you know, I haven't seen that.
He's just a very likable actor that I feel like you automatically are like, you're an asshole, but, like...
You want to trust him.
Right, you speak the truth.
Yeah.
And at the end, he does sacrifice himself.
Yeah. When he's... takes the breath to do the one last dive into the coolant, he kind of, like, he... I don't want to say moans, but that's the word, you know? He just groans and made me almost cry. Because I was like, he's so cold.
But you know, he then freezes and becomes Captain America.
There it is.
He freezes a lot in this movie.
Ashley was talking about this before recording, actually. And explain.
Well, the first time was he sticks his hand in the coolant at the beginning of the film.
He does.
And then he's like, wrench. Oh, it's cold. And I was like.
So we know, guys.
Right.
The coolant's cold.
The coolant's cold. So I was like, oh, and I wrote down. Chris Evans doesn't like the cold. And then when he comes out of the ice lock, he has, like, frostbite on his hand.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think I was like, that looks worse than frostbite. That looks like it's gone.
Yeah, he gonna lose a thumb.
Right, but then he's, like, very ambidextrous. He's having no trouble with the wrench. And then he goes in the coolant, and then he, like, actually freezes.
Yeah.
I was like...
But what were you saying about Chris Evans, the actor, not liking cold?
Oh, Chris... So, he's also a Snowpiercer? In steerage, I don't think it was really warm.
No.
He's wearing that heavy coat.
Yeah.
So he's cold in Snowpiercer, and then in the Iceman, he plays the ice truck killer.
That's true. And then Captain America,
He's capsicle. And I'm sure I could buy more if I just spent a little bit more time on it. But my conspiracy theory is that Chris Evans is going to freeze to death.
Chris Evans, watch out!
Chris Evans, only vacation in warm climates.
He's from Boston, though. It gets cold there. Yeah. He's been training for this his whole life because he knows already.
Because that's the point. You laugh, but it makes sense.
Okay. Whew.
Next time I see Chris Evans, I'm going to be like, Chris, hi. By the way, I've done some research.
Really worried about you.
Here's my thesis. 24 pages.
Make it into a little pamphlet. I think that'll go over.
Oh, yeah. I'll go to Kinko's. I'll get it bound.
Consider this. In Fantastic Four, he's the fire guy. Now, does that balance it out?
No, because that was just the one, and technically it doesn't exist because they just rebooted it.
Fine.
Okay. But in Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, set in Canada, where it's cold.
He has a skateboard in that one. How does that play in?
Well, he also disintegrates, so technically he's like frozen and then just breaks into pieces.
Or is it he turns into dust, like human skin, like those guys in Icarus 1.
That's not true.
Oh, he turns into little coins.
Yeah.
Okay, never mind.
But the skin and the dust theory, that's not true.
That's not true?
No.
Okay, let's talk about that. When they go on to Icarus 1, there's dust everywhere. And my one question about this...
So upsetting.
Was the captain of that ship, would there not be footprints if there was all this dust?
I don't think they were looking.
If there was someone... Oh, okay, I guess that's true. But so they walk in and there's dust everywhere and the doctor's like, human skin! Dust is 90% human skin.
No.
Are you sure?
I feel like it might be a little bit. I feel like there's no way it could cause that much damage.
You know what? Let's ask Siri.
Alright. And then I'll ask a reputable website.
How do I ask Siri? Can you tell me how to do this? Siri, what is dust made out of?
Calling Lattice John.
No! No! I was going to call my cousin. They just announced he was pregnant. I can't call him.
What is dust made out of?
Oh, I have...
Here's what I found on the web for what is dust made out of.
Dust consists of particles in the atmosphere that come from various sources such as soil, volcanic eruptions, and pollution. Dust in homes, offices, and human environments contains small amounts of plant pollen, cumin, and animal hairs, textile fibers, paper files, minerals, human skin cells.
Well, okay, let's... Because the only two things that they had on the ship were the humans and the plants.
And clothes.
Yeah, and clothes. So it could have been the breakdown of any organic-based matter.
Yeah, I just don't think it would have caused that much. Because it looks like a haunted house.
Yeah. Well, it's been 6.5 years.
But it's...
And it... these skin cells are not... It's not 8 people repopulating their skin cells.
And I guess it's kind of like, it reminded me of Pompeii.
Yes.
It reminded me of that, because you know, like, you walk the streets and there's, like,
yes,
soot and stuff, mm-hmm. but then, like, all the bodies are, like,
yeah,
post. That's what it looked like. It looked like volcanic ash.
Rather it did dust. Look like volcanic ash. It was a lot of dust.
It just looked, it, but I get it, because, like, I was terrified.
On the Icarus One.
Yeah.
Like it's very scary.
It's very scary.
And as soon as they were like, let's split up. And I'm glad that they did voice it. We're like, splitting up seems like a bad idea here.
But I was like.
But we need to search effectively. You're right. I was like, don't.
But why not split up into teams of two? Why just completely leave everyone? That's what I was like, oh, great. So these are our teams. See you later.
I get that they want to get off of Icarus One as quickly as possible. But also, again,
but
what, buddy system.
Right? And okay, so.
I think this has been a rule on a past podcast episode where we're like buddies.
Yeah. That's just a rule in life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Always have
a buddy. Always have a buddy. We do so well in space.
So well in space. I'd have a cat. It would just be me.
No, we just, would not have a cat.
It would just be me and the cat being like, you've been acting strangely. Med bay.
Bup, bup, bup. Take your buddy.
Right. Okay, so.
Did you notice the picture the flashes?
Yeah. I did.
Do you know what they were of?
Well, I know now.
Yeah.
It's of the...
It's of the picture of the Icarus One teammates. Yeah. Which I did not notice those first ones when I watched it the first time.
Yeah.
When Chris Evans, it's his flashlight when it crosses the screen, which I loved how they didn't insert them just randomly until things really got crazy at the end. How they just, when there was a flashlight going across the screen, that's when the picture was up.
Mm-hmm.
I loved it. Sorry, I'm choking right now, which is why I sound like I'm tearing up.
Do you need a
second? Oh, this movie.
But, so, the part I didn't understand about Icarus 1.
Yeah.
Well, two things. The first one is more of a statement. Why Harvey didn't grab, like, one plant to bring back?
That is a good question.
That made me mad. But that's Harvey being an idiot. Yeah,
that is him not right. being
And if someone
focused.
Was like, we're leaving, I'd be like, fuck.
Yeah, that's true. It's him not being focused, but his lack of focus is understandable.
Right, so I was just like, just grab a tree. What I don't understand is, so Mark Strong is the captain.
Yes.
Definitely went crazy. Right. Yeah. He went crazy.
Okay.
And he started saying that, like, sun was the god, and that we can't go against God. God is dying. All this stuff. Did he then murder his crew?
I do not think so.
Or then did he convince them of the fact that this is pointless and we're all gonna die?
I think they made that decision together. Because they're... I think that they came to that decision together. I do not think he ambushed the crew.
So weird, though. I mean, how do you convince? Well, I guess it's like a cult.
So because, again, are in absolute isolation. And it's taking over a year. They can get the video messages going back and forth. That I think that, because even on Icarus 2, the doctor planted that seed and everyone started talking about it. I think once the seed was planted... They all kept thinking more and more about it. I think the tipping point was when they had no contact with Earth anymore.
Yeah.
And they are completely cut off. And they're not accountable to anyone. Essentially acting in a vacuum. And so they were like, you know what? No. We're not going to do this. I think they came to that decision together. What I don't understand is why he didn't die.
I think he didn't die because he was building himself up. Which is why he has third-degree burns.
Mm.
Is that, like, he was doing what the doctor did, which was, like...
Oh, I see.
So he... Because I think he was the starter. He's the leader.
I think so, yeah. He is the leader.
So then I think he was starting it, and he was doing it.
Maybe he also knew, like, they're going to send another ship. Or maybe he's treating this whole experience as his own spiritual retreat.
Yeah, like, I just... I don't think he thought... I mean, maybe he assumed someone was coming, because that's human nature. It's like, first one failed. Put a 2 on it and slap it back up into space. That's a really long Endgame, though.
Well, because maybe Okay, you're right. That is a long Endgame. So I think that he was sort of treated as, like, he is essentially on a spiritual retreat.
Yeah.
You know, he has gone, like, the monks up in the mountains, you know. He has gone to pray and be with his God, and he's going to die there.
Right. He's not God. Son is God.
Yeah.
Okay. He's just worshiping.
Because he's saying, who are we to go against this thing that is dying? Yeah.
So that's the thing. I think of you, like, as the Knights of Templar.
Okay.
You know, like, how he guarded the Holy Grail for decades. You know, he's, like, protecting. Because they are, like, right outside the sun.
That is a good point. He is also protecting the sun.
Right.
So he's letting it. He's standing guard as the sun dies. I didn't think about that.
I just don't understand why secret societies and, like, cults are so intriguing is how you can convince so many people to do your bidding or to get an idea.
There is a Stuff You Should Know episode that they did on mass hysteria.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I think you should listen to it.
I like those. Like, now we're just going to talk about podcasts.
Well, it explains the science behind mass hysteria. Well, but it's also one thing that they all have in common is there's a reason that they usually happen in places like schools where people are in a group.
Yeah.
Where there is an authority figure, where they're kind of in isolation from the rest of the world.
Yeah. I just find it so intriguing that, like, it's so easy to bend the wills.
It is.
Of
especially when you're in an isolated group.
Yeah. And then to, like, willingly
and especially sit down. Also when there is, like, a very direct authority chain.
And so I'm with you that they committed suicide. However, I think they were forced into committing suicide because he stole the coolant tanks. He sabotaged it.
He did sabotage his coolant tanks. I don't know whether I think that he did that before. No, okay, he did it. They all did it before. I don't know if that was, like, a group decision, though.
That's the thing. I feel like that's...
But then there have been cases of mass suicides when it's, like, a brainwashing type thing. Like cults. This was a... I think they all chose to do it. I don't think if they were... That they were all the same people that they were a year ago when they left Earth, you know?
I don't know. I just thought that part was so, like, crazy.
It was very crazy. And that's the part where most people, if they have a problem with this movie, this is the part that loses them.
See, that's... I understand that, but at the same time, I was expecting something a little bit more, like, science fiction action. Because I also, like... Danny Boyle's previous films are, like, action.
I was actually very glad that there wasn't some alien or something that did it. This is really just humans failing.
Right. Which is why I'm so... I wish I would have watched it... Not this morning. Like, I wish I would have watched it earlier in the week and had some time to digest it.
Yeah.
And watch it again. Because I think there's so much stuff on second viewing that you're
there
like...
There is.
Oh, well, I didn't realize this.
Because I was watching this... I think this is maybe the fourth or fifth time I've seen it, but I just kind of forgot to take notes.
Yeah.
Because I was just swept away in it.
Well, I think when you know there's not an alien coming, or you know there's not, like, a problem, like, you know something's not going to go wrong with the ship, and...
It's not, like, the creeping dread of, when is it going to jump out at me? It's...
And that's
like,
where...
the understandable thing of, like, oh, he messed up.
Yeah.
I get that.
And that's where I was, like, the entire, like, first half, where I was like, something bad has to happen.
And then I think, like, doesn't.
Right.
I just got so visibly happy, because I'm like, there's no monster.
But then when the monster finally does come, I was so like.
But the monster's just a guy.
Right. But, like, I mean, humans are monsters. But when he finally does come, I was just like, holy shoot. This is amazing. Like, it was just so, like. It got me pumped up again to be like, oh, okay. But I have no idea what happened at the end.
Okay, so at the end, Mark Strong makes it on Icarus 2.
I got up to the point where they're in the box.
They are, and what I would like to know, my other question that I have, besides how did they get
Professor
into
Cox.
The sky, my question is, I want to see a blueprint of the payload. Because I'm not quite sure I completely understand the architecture of the entire room. Yeah. Because I thought that it was a massive square and the little room where he sets everything off was kind of in the middle. But now I'm thinking there's also some sort of spherical element to it, because there's obviously a curve, because Mark Strong is holding Killian Murphy over the edge.
Yeah.
And he and Cassie fall down, but it's like, it's a slope. And then they still run to the center. So my lack of understanding about the end is literally just physical space. I don't understand what that looks like.
I think that's the problem. And I think that's why I enjoyed the ending so much, because I was so like, I don't know what's
yeah. And you know what I do love? Is how there wasn't a, even though Cassie is still alive.
Yeah.
And so is Mark Strong. Like, there's, I guess he's kind of falling apart and stuff. But Cassie's still alive. But I love how her character and Kappa do not end together. Because the first time I was watching, I thought there was going to be some holding hands moment.
Yeah.
And there's not. And I love it. It's just him, like, well, because his whole thing, let me go on a little tangent here. Because at the beginning of the movie, Cassie and Kappa are talking, and she asks him if he's scared, and he says, no, I think it's going to be beautiful. And then at the end, she is kind of crumpled on the ground, and she's just kind of accepted that I'm going to die, and she dies alone on the other side of the payload. And he dies when he sets off the payload, and he sees it go off, and he's reaching out to the wall of fire that goes up. And it's a beautiful shot, but it just got me thinking, like, he made the payload. That's his creation. There has to be a part of him that is like an artist looking at his work.
Mm-hmm.
And so he dies looking at his masterpiece. And I really, really like how he does not have anyone else with him. Because I think that if Cassie had been with Kappa and they were holding hands, it would have made it, I don't know, just a lot more about like their relationship.
Yeah.
Which is really just a friendship, and I loved how there were no romantic relationships in this, thank God. But it would have been so completely different had they not all died alone.
Yeah.
You know? I think it would have taken away from that last moment a lot, mm-hmm. had he not been by himself looking at what he made.
Yeah.
And then it's because, yeah. What he's dying because looking at what he made to save the world, like the sun, bring it. There's a circle element to it that I can't really quite articulate right now. But I really loved how the hand-holding moment, staring into death together, did not happen.
Yeah.
Because I would have, the first time I was watching it, I was like, oh, these two gonna hold hands, and then they didn't, and I was so happy. I sound very, like, bitter and cold and no relationships, but I was just confused. Glad it didn't happen.
I feel like if you're on a bomb,
mm-hmm.
and there's a man trying to kill you,
yeah,
the bomb is going to explode. It's like, why not just sit in the corner and be like, hey dude, who's trying to murder us?
Because,
like, we're all gonna die.
I think this payload had to be activated.
Yeah, that's,
I'm not quite sure I understand the science behind that, because I think things that go boom, right?
Well, I think
I think maybe there was, like, an electrical element to this payload. That's right. Okay.
And this, I mean, it's an atom bomb.
Yeah.
So I think it requires a little bit more, like, two keys to turn it.
Yeah, like, that's true.
You know, I think it would have had to been activated because technically the spaceship had 4 minutes to get away.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's activated remotely.
Yeah.
But he had to do it. Like,
he had to do it with the locking key thing, yeah.
But I didn't know that was happening. That's where I was confused because he's never like, I need to turn this on. He just, like, goes in the bomb.
Because, and the reason he had to do that to go into the bomb was because that was Icarus, and Mark Strong turned Icarus off, which is why Chris Evans had to fix all the coolants manually. Which is, yeah.
Yeah, I just assumed he was going into the bomb to die.
Oh, okay.
And then
he was going in there to, okay, got it.
Because it's either, like, suffocate on a spaceship, mm-hmm. with no lights and filled with dead people, or die in your bomb.
Yeah.
And so I thought he was going in there to die.
Oh, no, he was going in there to finish it.
Because Icarus
was out. Yeah, okay. Okay, so, Ashley, would you recommend this movie?
I would, yeah. I think it's a good movie. I liked it.
I highly recommend this movie. I love it. Well, because also, I think it's a very good science fiction film.
I think so, too. I liked it.
It's beautifully shot.
We didn't even get to talking about
it. We didn't even get to talk about cinematography, but it is gorgeous. And the soundtrack is amazing. And the main song, like the main sunshine song, that when they're, you know, flying into the sun.
I'm walking on sunshine?
No. With the dun.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the main song, if you see,
the theme.
The theme. the big one in it. It's very motivating to run to, actually.
Oh, I'll have to download that.
Sunshine and Pacific Rim frequently find their ways into my running playlist, and Pacific Rim seems to make more logical sense because it's more of like a...
It's a...
Here we go, running.
I have Pacific Rim and Mad Max.
Oh, Mad Max is good too.
Yeah.
Mad Max is good.
I like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but Sunshine. This.
I'll add Sunshine to the list.
Not all of it, obviously.
Obviously.
Some are quite sad. But this even one Pacific Rim. Surprisingly motivating.
Hmm. I'll yeah. Look at it. But I really enjoyed it. I thought there was so much and such good acting. Everyone is amazing.
Yeah, everyone. Because I was thinking about that. Because this is before... I was thinking about it when I was watching Chris Evans die. That this is before he got super big. This was before Captain America.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is one of his best performances.
Yeah.
To date.
And it was like in post-production for like a year and a half or something.
Was it?
Yeah. Because of the sun.
Well, that's another thing. The visual and effects in this...
Beautiful.
...were very, very good.
So good.
And this came out in 2007. And so you think that this was not a high-budget movie.
No, it was like $20 million or something.
And there were movies that, cost a lot more than this that look a hell of a lot worse.
Yeah. I'm interested. I kind of want Neil deGrasse Tyson to, like, report on this film.
No, I don't want him to ruin it.
But
Brian, he did it to Gravity. I was like, let me have this.
But the only reason I want to see it is because apparently Brian Cox was the scientific advisor for this.
Oh!
So I'm like...
You did do research on the bus.
I did. I was by myself. But I like Brian Cox. And I was like, I think they're both very like witty and smart. And
yeah, they are.
They're good at like...
They're smart?
They're very smart. They're good at, like, telling it how it is and layman's terms. So I was like, I want Neil deGrasse Tyson to be like, hey, Professor Brian, bounce a blast.
What's the deal with sunshine?
Right.
Okay, so...
Yeah, the Earth is spinning the wrong way.
We would both highly recommend this movie.
Uh-huh.
To pretend like you've seen this, just freaking watch it.
I think you need to know it's Danny Boyle's only sci-fi film. Like
I think you could make the argument that 28 Days Later is a sci-fi film.
No, you can't. It's a zombie film.
No. I think you should know the basic, deeper theological arguments of it.
Ooh.
I said basic. You know, I think you should, like, you know, because the deepest one, I think, is, like, should we play God? Right? That's kind of what it boils down to.
But, I get it, and I get what Mikey loves movies, right?
Mikey loves movies.
I get what he's saying, but at the same time, I'm like, is it playing God or is it just survival?
Well, but that was the whole Icarus One thing. Like, who are we to say, like, this? No, the sun can't die.
But, like, who are we to say that we don't want to live anymore?
Well, I'm trying to boil down, because what I'm saying is you should know Icarus One's argument. So I'm trying to boil that down.
Yeah.
So I thought their main argument was, like... You know, who are we to decide the fate of humanity? We should just accept the hand we're given, basically, right? Yeah. I think you should know that.
Okay.
That's a thing.
I mean, the Icarus plot?
Yes.
Like, Icarus flew too close to the sun?
Yeah. Yep. Know that.
And then,
Should the third thing be, like, literally just know who Icarus is?
That's what I was referring to with number two. Like, no Icarus.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Yeah, okay. Like, I thought you meant, like, know that the first ship went out.
No, like Icarus.
All right, yep. Agree.
Which is a terrible name. But they're all bad. Like, Apollo. Well, Apollo is okay. But, like, Prometheus is a terrible name.
Yeah.
Why would you name
but
a ship
they
Prometheus?
Sound cool.
I get that Greek names sound cool. However, the connotation.
But the thing is, because I was thinking about the whole Icarus thing, that they could have named it after his dad, who did not fly too close to the sun, but his name does not sound as cool as Icarus.
But look at all the Apollo missions.
Yeah. And that's what they probably said.
Right?
Look at all the Apollo missions.
But
there were tons of those.
But even explorers. There were a couple explorers.
Yeah. You pick a name and you stick to it.
I do wonder, I'll have to look that up. If, like, after... Because is there an Apollo 15? Or is it, like, if something goes wrong, they retire the line?
I don't know. Okay, we need a third thing.
I think the third thing would be... Okay, so if we did the deeper theological meanings, mm-hmm. Icarus myth,
yeah,
and then the humanity, yeah, is very mythy,
yeah.
Or we can do like, this is actually very, it's a very true sci-fi film. The science in this,
yeah, that's what you should say. That's what we should do, is that this could happen. And it's, it takes place when it was released. It took place 50 years in the future, you know?
I don't think they say the year, do they?
In IMDb, they do.
I know, but I don't know where that information is coming from.
I didn't hear them say the year, but it may have been written somewhere.
Because if I saw 2050, I would have been more alone.
I wasn't paying attention that much to that specifically, but yeah, let's go with like...
The science is real.
Yeah. Science is real. Stars die.
Which apparently there's like... On the DVD commentary, Professor Brian Cox was like, if you, because the sun isn't dying, but like there's like an atom inside that's switching off. So the bomb is meant to like turn it back on.
Okay.
And they're like, CERN is trying to figure out what that atom is.
Mm.
And apparently in the commentary, he was like, if anyone can name, or if you have until like 2017, he's like, that by 2017, CERN will have a name for this.
Oh, wow.
And you can, like, email or something.
Let's go. We still got time. We got a year.
We gotta get that degree in
we
science.
We can do this.
And astrophysics. But, yeah, so, I mean, I feel like if you have real scientists working on it, and, like, CERN.
And a can-do attitude. We got this.
You got this.
Year, guys. Okay. So.
But, yes.
That was Sunshine.
Yeah, that was Sunshine.
Next up, we are watching a movie that neither of us have seen. Nope. And we're watching Dune.
Dune!
I'm pretty excited about this one.
I'm very excited about this.
So, we will see you on the 30th with Dune.
And as always, this has been
You Haven't Seen. I'm Debbie.
And I'm Ashley. And you can check us out on Twitter at YHS_podcast. And you can check us out on Tumblr at youhaventseen-podcast.tumblr.com. You can... follow us there, shoot us an email. As always, be sure to rate and review us on iTunes. The more you rate and review, the easier we are to find.
Bye.
Bye.